and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for May 12th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and sitting in with me as a guest this week for the vacationing Jim Allen is Michael Westphal. Good evening, sir.
Hey, good evening.
Good to have you on the show.
It's always a pleasure.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time since we had you here, too.
Yeah, I think it's been about a year.
Maybe more, maybe more. But thank you for filling in. I hope Jim is not getting too much sun, but I gather that he is. He's in Hawaii, so not much shade there.
He'll come back pink.
Pink, you say? I say red. Red like the Hiroshima Carp. And speaking of the Hiroshima Carp, we've got an interview with Brad Eldred of the Hiroshima Carp, and we're going to discuss a couple rare plays and respond to a listener question and more. So let's get started.
Clearing the bases.
All right. So this week you are the guest. So I'm going to allow you to torment me and make me look foolish by asking the trivia question. Please go ahead, sir.
Oh, nothing difficult at all.
He says, laughing.
So Yokohama's Kazuhiro Sasaki will be inducted into the Hall of Fame this year.
That's right. I saw him throw out the first pitch the other day.
So I've got a few Sasaki questions for you, which I think you should be able to answer.
No, I give up already.
All right. Well, first, what was his nickname?
The nickname was the Daimajin. I remember that.
Hamano Daimajin, but yeah, it was often shortened to Daimajin.
Daimajin, okay. Yeah, I got that one. Yeah, I got one. We're finished. Let's go.
Yay, okay. Now here's another one you should be able to get.
Ah.
1997, Sasaki and one other pitcher set the single season save record at the time. Who was that other pitcher, and how many saves did both of them get in 1997?
I would have to say Hitoki Iwase?
Ooh.
Okay, wait a minute. Oh,
Iwase holds the current most saves record.
For a season, yeah, but it's probably somebody from the Pacific League. And the only guy I remember who was really hot that year was Shinohara, but he wasn't the closer. He was a dragon? Oh.
Yes, that's why I was sure you would know.
Oh, then it was the foreign pitcher.
The manager of the Samsung Lions, I believe.
Oh, I thought it was the white guy. Son Don-yo.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize that he had gotten... I had nicknamed him the fire starter. Because every time...
Oh, no.
His first year...
He was pretty good.
Well, his first year, he was pretty awful. He was ridiculously awful.
Second year, though, he tied Sasaki with 38 saves.
38. I wouldn't have gotten the number.
Which set a new record.
Wow.
And, of course, the following year, the Bay Stars won the pennant, and Sasaki was absolutely lights out. Giants manager Nagashima, was it at the time?
Mm-hmm.
He basically said, against Yokohama, you have got to score your runs by the eighth inning or you're not going to.
Mm.
So it was an unfair game in that the opposition only had eight innings to score.
Yeah.
Sasaki was just that good. And then he renewed the saves record at what?
Oh, you're going to continue? It's supposed to be a trivia question. You're giving me a trio here?
Trio, yes.
Geez, you mean before? Because he doesn't hold the single season record now, right? Because I think that's like 44 or something, and that's higher. So I would say if he had 38 before, he got like 41?
It was 45.
45? I thought, okay. Well, then
Iwase renewed it at 46 in 2005.
Okay, I got the numbers mixed up. Okay, yeah. I was right, though. He doesn't hold it now. It was Iwase
right.
Who holds it now. It was
Iwase broke the record in 2005.
Okay, so it's 46 now, and Sasaki set the record at the time with 45.
Yep, and nobody was anywhere close to that until Iwase broke it. And then Kyuji Fujikawa tied at 45 in 2007.
Okay. All right. Whew. All right. Well, excellent. Good job on the Yokohama trivia. Well, Yokohama slash Chunichi, because it was involved Chunichi too, and a little.
Yeah, I tried to make it so that it was something would be something that you would have memory of.
Well, I'm going to give myself 50% on that, because out of the three questions, I think I got 1.5.
Okay, that'll work.
All right, so the other day I went out to Jingu Stadium and I got a chance to talk to Brad Eldred, and he came after the start of the season 2+ years ago, and this is obviously his best start to a season. He's a top hitter in the CL for the first time right now, and he's leading in RBIs, he's second in batting, I think he's tied for first in homers. I think that we're taping on Saturday, and I think he hit one today, and he might be up at the top at the moment. So he's really having a great start to the season. It's still a start. Let's not get too excited, everybody. It's still a start, but yeah, I mean, OPS really high, slugging really high. He's playing like a madman, and the Carp are winning. They won today on Saturday to go 12 games over 500 for the first time in 16 years. So, and you'll hear me talk about that in the interview, that, you know, they keep getting these great accomplishments at the beginning of the season, and the season is long. We're only a month plus through, so there could be a little bit of regression to the mean for some of the players, for himself included, some of the pitchers. But it looks like the switch is on for him, and he really is understanding how to make line drive contact a lot in Japan, and that really helps you put up numbers. And obviously, one of the reasons the Carp are first place right now is because of his play. And one of the things you hear about us talk in the interview is, on April 25th, against the Giants, he had an 11th inning walk-off home run in a scoreless game, and that was the rubber game of a home series against the Giants, and one of the greater moments for him in Japan. You know, I know you have that algorithm, and you predicted that the Carp would win the CL this year, and I scoffed at it because it was all number based. But the way they're playing and the way they're looking, it looks like It was all people based. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you didn't explain my algorithm.
I did not explain your algorithm, but I probably didn't understand it. But we'll set that aside for now. But it'd be awesome to see this team actually, you know, repeat that 1991 feat for the Carp fans and win the Central League. I have no problem with that. I think it's a good team. Obviously, I picked them to finish in second, so I think we had similar ideas at least. Mine was not an algorithm, of course. But now in the interview you were here, we had some problems with the wind, and I just decided to, and this is the first time in a while we've had some problems with the wind, so I apologize. But I just cut out my question to him because it was so windy we couldn't even hear it. And I spliced out that section. And basically what I asked him was, what were the expectations for the team coming into the season? And then you'll hear me ask him about his personal expectations. So let's go ahead and take a listen to the interview.
Let's hear it.
All right, Brad Eldred from the first place Hiroshima Carp is our guest this week. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And how do you like the sound of that?
Oh, that's great. I mean, obviously, you know, it's early on in the season, but, you know, to have a hot start always gives the team momentum going throughout the rest of the year, hopefully.
I agree. Now, you got winning a string of series to start the season. You guys are going double digits over 500 for the first time in years. You're in first place, 16 wins in April. I mean, what do you think when you hear about these accomplishments?
You know what? I can't say that I'm too surprised about it, really. I mean, obviously, seeing the way the guys came together towards the end of the year last year, really helped a little bit. I think starting out this year, we came to spring training feeling good, having good. And obviously it showed. We worked hard at spring training, and we started off to a good start now. I don't know as far as outside expectations, but I would assume probably fairly high considering, you know, finishing out so strong last year. Obviously, there's been some changes, but at the same time, we got a lot of young players that performed well last year, and this is going into their second year, third year for a few guys, and I think they're going to start to shine a lot more.
What about your personal expectation?
I think that.
Go on now, tell the truth.
Yeah, I mean, as a team, we should definitely be in that top that A group, I guess they call it. I think that, obviously as a defensively, as it really stands out the most, I think that, you know, the difference some of these guys make in the field, as well as the pitching's been great. The bullpen, I don't know how many runs they gave up, but it wasn't very many there in the first 2 weeks or so. So if they can keep staying strong, and obviously, everybody's hitting pretty well, and everybody's taking a turn getting the big hit in each game.
Now, you assess this month, you say everybody's performing. Can you guys keep this up, or are you expecting some valleys or even more peaks? Can you guys get better?
I think it can obviously get better, but obviously throughout a season you're going to have ups and downs. There's going to be times we might lose a few games, might lose a series. It's going to happen, But obviously the most important thing is how you respond to it. There's some tough teams we've played already. We feel like we match up really well against some of the better teams in the league. Knowing that, you got to feel confident going into each series that you got a chance to win that series.
Yeah, I like the way you guys have played the Giants, and I wanted to talk about one of the moments that you had against the Giants, hitting a walk-off home run. What was going through your mind at that point?
I wasn't thinking about a whole lot. It was actually one of the probably their best left-handed reliever guy came in there, and he's had so much success against us, I think I've had a few hits off him, but for the most part, I think he's done a pretty good job against us. I was just looking for a good fastball. I know he has decent fastball, and he gave me two of them that just barely missed, fouled off two in a row, and I was like, it's kind of hard to get off that thing. So I was just, looking for a fastball, and ended up throwing a slider middle end, left it over the plate, and obviously hit the barrel, one of the best feelings you can have as a player is hit a walk-off home run, especially against one of the better pitchers or relievers that's in the league.
So what was going through your mind as you were rounding the bases?
I don't really know if you think about a whole lot right at first. Right when you hit it, for me, I don't really react real big a lot of times on home runs. Obviously, after you get around the bases and hitting third base there, coming towards home, all the guys stand there jumping around with their water, just waiting for the shower. And, obviously that's when you start to get excited. And, it was a huge win for us to take 2 or 3 from them.
Yep. All right, now you guys made it to the postseason last year, and you beat the Tigers in the first round, and then you came to Tokyo Dome, and the season ended. Now, how much is that postseason experience playing a role for the team this year?
As far as playing a role, I think it helps. Not so much just getting to the playoffs or, competing in the playoffs. I think it's how we got there. That last month of the season was a pretty good team you saw out there that was playing. We were playing really good as a team. Everybody was doing their job, hitting, pitching, defense, all the stuff that wins games. And also I think like a lot of the younger players, with getting that experience and being on a winning team, it's going to help them moving forward. And that's what they should expect, is to win and to be on a winning team. And I think that's something they could bring to the team and try to, set the foundation for, hopefully, a winning Carp team.
Right. Now, I know you guys had a really good month last year to finish it up, but do we in the media give too much importance to winning and doing well in the playoffs like that? Because can it really carry over?
It might. If anything, obviously, if you lose in the playoffs, you still lost. I think it can a lot more. Obviously, if you win the whole thing, or at least win your league title, it can carry into the next year more. I think it definitely can play a little bit of a role with the guys, I think, going into like a spring training. I think when everybody shows up for camp, maybe just a little bit more serious, knowing that where we were last year, and you kind of make you want to get to that next level to move on farther than we did. We did win the first series, but it makes you you know what it feels like to lose in the playoffs, and it makes you want to see what it's like to go even farther.
All right. Well, what's the key for this team this year? I always point to the defense and costly errors at inopportune times, and you and Keita are here at the beginning of the season, which makes a big difference. So what's the key going through the entire season this year?
I think just to keep doing what everybody's doing. Right now everybody's playing well. The biggest key that I feel like it's been is each guy is doing something different every night. It's not just one guy hitting a big hit, double, guy in scoring position. It's like everybody's taking their turns. And because each person's taking their turn, helping the team win, that's what it's all about. That's what a team's really working together. And the pitching, defense, hitting, it all wins games. But I think most importantly is just that each guy is doing their part, doing what they can do to help the team win.
Now, I know you got some rookies Oseda and Kuri are pitching well for you, but what's it like losing a starter like Kan Ohtake?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's one of my favorite guys that I've had as a teammate here in Japan. So, I mean, he's a great guy. We talked a lot, and he had a lot of fun with him. He's a fun guy to have in the clubhouse, and obviously he was here for a long time. So to lose him, you know, one of your better starters is a tough blow. But, you know, obviously came in the spring training. We got, you know, two new guys, young guys they drafted. You don't know what to expect at first, but now that I've seen them play a little bit, you know, I got to say, they definitely are doing a great job filling in for him.
I agree. All right, last question. We're trying not to dwell on it, but they keep changing the ball. It's ever-changing. It's carries. It doesn't carry. How is it for you as a player playing with the ball? It keeps changing.
I don't think about it at all, to be honest with you. I mean, I think it's more of a story for everybody else to talk about. I mean, as far as I know, I don't know, but when did they first change the ball? Was, what, 5 years ago or so?
Right,
2011. So it's still not as good as that ball was. I guess it was 5 years ago. So, I mean, either way, it's still a worse ball than there was than they were using for the previous years. You know, I don't think guys put a whole lot of thought into it as far as, you know, you're just concentrating on hitting it. So, I mean, I don't think you're worried about how far it's going. I mean, for me, when I hit a home run, it's going to go over the fence probably no matter what anyways. So, you know, I haven't really had any, I think, cheap ones yet this year. But maybe I get one, I might think differently.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck the rest of the way. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you again, Brad, as always. I think it was his third time on the show. I think we ended the second stage of the CLCS last year with an interview with him, and then I had talked to him before. So your thoughts about the talk, what stuck out for you?
Well, there at the end, he mentioned that the ball now is a worse ball than it was before the unified ball. And I couldn't help but wonder, is this a batter saying that it's a worse ball?
No,
does that mean?
I think he was saying it's worse than the 2000. They changed the ball in 2011. I think he's saying compared to 2010, all the balls have been bad, and I think that 2011 ball was the worst, but it's still not as good as the 2010 ball. That's what I thought he was saying.
Okay, but...
So he's saying the ball now is still worse than the 2010 ball that was taken out of play.
Okay, but I guess he wasn't here then, so he...
He can only tell by... Yes. What's he talking about?
From what he's heard? Because it was a very lively ball at Tokyo Dome, but it was not a very lively ball at, say, Jingu.
Mm-hmm.
Before the unified ball, so... That had me a little confused, especially considering the rabbit ball start to this season.
Yeah.
That a hitter would be saying that the ball now is worse when it was flying there at the start of the season.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, obviously, I don't know how he would know very much about the 2010 ball. Other than what he's heard, or perhaps some of the teams,
a
lot of the teams had their own balls and they probably maybe had some left over, somewhere. I don't know. Or maybe they had some stored in a factory in China and had them dried out.
Humidified. The problem was they were too dry.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They were dry, and so now they told him these are what the balls were like in 2010.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
But that was only at certain stadiums.
Right, because the balls were different at particular stadiums. Each stadium, in some cases, every stadium, they were different. I remember Ryan Vogelsong complaining to me before... this was when he was with the Tigers and before he went to the Oryx team, that he was complaining to me about the balls being different at every stadium and saying, you know, sometimes I can get a grip on the ball and sometimes I can't. It's ridiculous. Uh-huh. You know, they should all use the same ball. And he ends up going back to the States where they use the same ball in all the parks, and he's successful. much more successful than he was here in Japan. But what else caught you here?
I figured that the Carps' early lead this season has helped with the very optimistic attitude, although he did keep it tempered, keep it realistic, and also, of course, with the end of how they did at the end of last season, going into this season, again, really good attitude going into the season, and they've been really producing pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, when he said, and I asked him, I said, do we make too much of that in the media where you guys finished really well last season? Does it really carry over? And I think in part what he was saying that what carries over is, yeah, we ended up with a loss. You know, it doesn't matter how everything good that happened during the season happened.
Uh-huh.
Because at the very end, we finished with our faces buried in our hands. And uh-huh. that's a bad feeling. And so guys worked. They came in the camp in really good shape. They came in with a drive, a little bit of fire in the belly, and they're ready to play, and they're ready to concentrate on finishing games. I mean, that was mm-hmm. all I ever complained about the Carp last year. And you heard me, I'm sure, on the show complain that they
yeah.
didn't make plays at the end of games. They didn't make plays when the game was on the line. They made really good plays, and they got the hits, and they did everything. But when the game was on the line, when it was time to win, when the chips were down, mm-hmm. they weren't at peak performance. And that was always my complaint. I didn't ever say that they were not a good team or that they couldn't do it. I just said, mm-hmm. I don't know why they fail. And, you know, obviously we're looking at them this season, and they're, you don't win, no team wins every one-run game. But
yeah, well, he did give credit, a lot of credit to the young players who were developing there at the end of the 2013 season.
Yeah.
And he also mentioned defense, which when I think of the Carp, defense is not what I think of. But sure enough, they are performing much better this year, especially at second base.
Ryosuke Kikuchi.
As far as defense is concerned.
Yeah, Ryosuke Kikuchi is a bona fide all-star. I mean, you see this guy make plays. He's really, I mean, normally you think of the shortstop as the guy on the infield who really carries the infield. And, you know, you think about guys like Ibata and Sakamoto and, you know, even Munenori Kawasaki when he was here in Japan. And those guys really rule the infield. But I think he rules the infield. And he is the best infielder right now, the best young infielder in the Central League. And I think he really is the guy out in front. And he's making a lot of great plays. He's making the routine plays, and he's helping the other guys out. I mean, they haven't had a steady regular shortstop. They've started three guys, I think, at shortstop so far, at least three. And so he is the guy on that infield who is the calming force. And he's very confident at the end of games, at the beginning of games, and in the middle of games. He is just steady.
Yeah, and for the longest time, you know, I have not given the Carp much credit so far as defense is concerned. But Kikuchi is really changing that whole image, and I think that, as you say, it's starting to kind of rub off on a lot of the other players.
I think so. Pitching and defense, and Brad talked about the bullpen and the pitching in the interview, and the fact that different guys were coming through each day, and that just says to me that it's a very complete team. You know, if you're getting good starting pitching, but you don't get good bullpen relief, you're not going to win. If you get good bullpen relief, but their starting pitching is bad, you're not going to win. And if you don't put up runs on offense and you don't come through at the plate, you're not going to win. So I think, you know, every day it's a different star, and I think that just shows how complete they are. I'm not sure about the depth, but they are playing a lot of guys.
Yeah, just try to keep the injury bug from moving over from Yakult to Hiroshima.
Speaking of which, I don't even know what to call him, because Shota Dobayashi, he has played infield, he has played outfield, he's been pinch hitting for them this year as well, and he got a hit in the series at Yakult at Jingu this past week when I went out there, and he got a hit in the ninth inning of one of the games and ended up with a broken ring finger on his right hand.
Oh yeah,
I do not know how. So he's out 6 to 7 weeks because of that. But again, he's the kind of guy who has been on the sidelines anyway, and they have shown a little bit of depth. They brought some young players up. They're giving them some playing time, and the guy, even if they don't come through, they're playing strong defensively, so they're not hurting them in that respect. And guys like Brad and Kira Kaihue, they've been playing well and driving in runs, and and carrying the team. So I don't think you can carry a bad bat in that lineup right now. They're hitting so well and they're getting on base so well. So I like what I'm seeing in the Carp. I don't know if, you know, like I said, the depth is there in, especially in the pitching.
Well, if you look at their runs scored to runs allowed, there's a big margin in between there. They have really been scoring a lot more runs than they've allowed.
Mm.
And, of course, Brad is a big part of that.
Yes, with all the home runs and leading. When you're leading in home runs and RBIs, and Coco Ballantyne is out there, and all the big Giants players are out there, that's saying something. And I did see a stat, you know, the Newell data. And I know you don't use Twitter a lot, but Newell Data site tweeted out a stat that showed that the ERA of the starters is the best in the Central League, and the collective ERA of the relievers is also number one in the CL. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, they're leading in both of that. I mean, it's not only that they're leading in team ERA. If you break it down, their relievers have the lowest ERA collectively, and the starters collectively also have the lowest ERA. So everybody's getting it done. I'm just really impressed. I don't, you know, I like my only question or concern is the depth, and injuries, of course, can take apart a team. We've seen it happen to the Swallows, so we know what it looks like firsthand. But, you know, hopefully they don't have to suffer any kind of injury bug like at least like what Yakult, even half of what they've suffered in the past 3+ seasons.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I also did like what he said about the ball as well, that it didn't matter what kind of ball you're using. You just concentrate on hitting the thing. which makes sense. I mean, I talked to Shuichi Murata when he was still with the with the Bay Stars, and I talked to him about the ball that first year, 2011, I'm sorry, and he said the same thing. He said, hey, look, if you knock the thing, it's going to go over the fence. So, he said, I just concentrate on making really good contact, and if I do, you know, essentially it doesn't matter what kind of ball you're using, but I don't know, I got to believe that it's in the back of somebody's mind somewhere. I don't know that all the players feel this way. Certainly a guy like Brad, because he's big and he hits the ball hard.
Yeah, well, Hiroshima, as Jim Allen will attest to, knocks down scoring opportunities quite a bit. It's much more of a pitcher's park, doesn't allow as many home runs. But Brad, of course, has the strength to hit him out even at Hiroshima Shimin Kyujo, or not Shimin, Zoom Zoom.
The Zoom, baby.
So offense for him at home and away is not a problem, and he's really showing that with his numbers, I think.
You know, he's been solid, but of course it doesn't matter for him, but I think a lot of the other guys on that team, it does matter. You know, maybe with the exception of Yoshi.
Yeah, well, it's not the ball for them, it's the stadium.
Well, it's a combination. I'm sure it's not one or one thing or the other. It's just that it is certainly, you know, using that ball in that stadium certainly doesn't help them.
But I guess that what I'm getting at is a lot of them had come over from Shimin Kyujo, which was just a little tiny bandbox, and those who were playing at Hiroshima Shimin Kyujo, going to their current Zoom Zoom Stadium, it's just so much bigger. And their offense had just dropped a great deal, ball excluded.
Mm.
So I think that might have been one mental obstacle that the team as a whole needed to get over. And with a lot of younger players coming in now, they never had Shimin Kyujo as their home.
True.
And so this is the norm. And that's one of the things that I said in one of my reports last year, was when Tokyo Dome first opened, it was a huge stadium. And people said that, you know, the Giants will never lead the league in home runs again. Yet, if you look at Tokyo Dome now, the people who grew up with Tokyo Dome, they're hitting balls out of there left and right.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a mental adjustment, I think, for a lot of the older players who had played at Shimin Kyujo. And, of course, you know, Brad, he never played at Shimin Kyujo, so that – isn't something that's holding him back or anything.
Certainly not. Yeah, certainly not. Well,
and the younger players, they're just going.
Yes, yeah, yeah, they're just going. You just wind them up and they go. but I'm really impressed with the rookies. He talked about the fact that they had some young players and some young pitchers who were doing well, and Daichi Oseda, who was a really highly touted draft pick, and we were expecting a lot out of him. And yeah, he was a big name guy with high expectations. I think he is not disappointed. In fact, I think he's one of the guys who's actually met expectations. Mm-hmm. I mean,
His last outing was a little bad, but he still got the win, I believe.
Well, yeah, but he was coming off of a 148 pitch complete game where they made him go out there and pitch the entire game, and you know, I didn't understand that, and I knew it would affect him in that most recent start, and he just tired. You know, he tired kind of early this time, but I think he deserved to get a break. you know, he's no Maku, and he's no Tanaka Masahiro Tanaka, and he's out there throwing all these pitches in his first complete game ever as a rookie. I'm like, you know, stop it. But Adam Kuri also has done well for them, and like we already talked about, Kikuchi being a star and Kira being a star. And there's another player I really like who's Ryuhei Matsuyama, and I like this guy because I saw his first post-game hero interview right after a game out at Seibu Dome, and he hit a home run and did some other stuff, and I think he had toiled a little bit in the minors, and he'd finally gotten up to the big team, and he had this game where he produced and helped them beat the Lions out at Seibu, and he got on it was his first post-game interview ever, you know, on the podium, and, you know, he's kind of emotional, and he was trying to remember, because it seems like they've taught all these players, okay, first, you know, please thank the fans for coming and tell them that they're important, and to keep, you know, you have specific lines you have to remember.
Yeah, the standard lines.
And so he's trying to remember them, but he's kind of getting emotional. It was just the cutest interview that I had seen, and I started liking him, and, you know, he's produced often, and he's not a regular per se. He played in 123 games in 2013, so last year, but that was the most games that he's played in, and he's not really played in all that many games. He played today, so 270 games since 2008. So, I mean, he's toiled. He's done his time. And, but he produces. He comes in, he's a left-handed batter, he comes in, and he'll play, he'll get spot starts and stuff. I like watching him. He's nothing special. He's not a great power hitter. He's not gonna hit for average. He's just a person you could just easily like. And like I said, they have some depth. We'll have to see how it plays out. I'm that's my only concern. And then my other concern would be if the Giants, who have already shortened their rotation, I don't know if you noticed that they have shortened their rotation. They stopped going from six man to a five man rotation because they're short on pitching. So that does not bode well for the Giants. They're not looking all that great. So I think the Carp have I think the door is open for them to go for the Central League title and do this thing for the first time since 1991. I think it's right there. It's a golden opportunity for him.
There was one other thing that Brad had mentioned, and that was that he felt that Otake was a very big loss, and not just to the team, but to him personally, as he really got along with Otake, who went to the Giants.
Right.
So everything wasn't exactly roses, but you know, you lose one person, another flower grows in its place.
Yep. And I've heard you say that, and we've referenced that topic a number of times on the show. So, yeah, Kyle Otake's gone, but they've got the two rookies in the rotation, and they seem to be doing all right. So I think the Carp are going to be good.
So the only follow-up to that I would have liked to have heard was, okay, who's your best buddy now?
You would have said John Gibson, of course.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I mean, he would have said Japan Baseball Weekly. All right. So I want to talk about some rare occurrences that happened this past week. We had two inside the park homers during the week. Now, one came on Monday.
Was that Hiroshima?
Yeah, one of them involved your Yokohama Bay Stars, but that was on Monday. I want to talk about the one on Tuesday because we had a couple of occurrences that were really freakish that happened on Tuesday. So on Tuesday at Kyocera Dome, Lotte Marines batter Takashi Ogino hit a ball, a routine fly to left field. Now, Orix outfielder
First
pitch of the game. Naotaka Takehara was literally standing on his head in the outfield. Did you see pictures? Did you see a replay of this thing?
I saw pictures in the newspaper. It went frame by frame. They showed eight frames. He started coming in, and then it looked like his feet slipped out from under him.
I wish it was a slip. I wish it had been a slip.
He rolled backwards trying to get the ball that was coming down as though he was trying to make a sliding catch and to overrun it.
No. I wish it had been so coordinated, but that's not the case. What happened was he did start in, like you said, but then he tried to go back. It looked like he caught his cleat either on his other cleat or on a seam or just – it just caught in the grass or something. So he ends up stumbling. And by the time the ball is coming to him, his cleats are over his head. He's upside down.
Yeah, it was like, the old slipping on a banana gag.
I wish it was a gag. I wish it was a gag. And it was so funny because he's stumbling. I mean, he's literally standing on his head out there in the turf. And the reaction of the pitcher, Yuki Nishi, who is still undefeated, he's 6-0, by the way.
Uh-huh.
There's another pitcher, Tomoyuki Sugano, who's also 6-0, so Ma Kun's record is not yet safe. he's standing on the mound, and his reaction was priceless. He turned around to see this routine fly ball and to see his outfielder standing on his head, and he flinched like someone had snuck up behind him and said, boo. You know what I mean? He's like, what is going on out there? And, you know, the reaction was priceless. And I think, I don't know, we had another issue with that today because Darvish almost pitched a perfect game. And in the midst of his perfect game, an infielder and an outfielder going after a ball stopped and no one touched it. And usually that goes as a hit. And I mean, I don't want to bring this up now because I guess we can argue, or I can argue with this with Jim or both of you guys in a later show. But, you know, guys, just because guys don't touch the ball, and I mentioned this on the show before, doesn't mean that they didn't butcher the play and that it shouldn't be an error. But this score in Texas, ruled it an error. And I think this thing should have been an error too, because the problem was Takehara came in on the ball and then realized he needed to go back. And when he tried to go back, that's when his feet got tangled up with whatever. And he ends up falling down. And this is so comical. So they ruled it a inside the park home run. I consider it an error, and I would be offended if I were Nishi and say that goes on my record because my outfielder blew the play. Yeah. Now the other
right, because it's an earned run.
Yeah, that's an earned run. It goes on his earned run average is still less than one, but this guy's been pitching shutout after shutout inning, and you know all of a sudden the first pitch of the game, and I can't remember what did they say that it was about the second time that's ever happened on the first pitch of a game,
yeah.
and so that you had an inside the park home run. So, geez, I don't know. Now on Monday, your guy, Takayuki Kajitani, he's had a breakout second half of the season last year, and he's been a really, really invaluable contributor this year already. So he's got seven.
He's just been on fire for the Bay Stars this year.
Yeah, now his inside the park home run was legitimate. In fact, I've never seen – this was a no-throw to the plate inside the park home run. I mean, I've never seen that. I think
– Yeah,
Big Poppy,
it was off the top of the fence, center fielder – Madu,
yeah.
It hit off the fence so hard that Madu couldn't get to the ball.
Right.
And Kajitani said that while he was rounding second, he thought, hey, I can make it.
Yeah.
The outfield was just so far away from getting to the ball.
Well, the aforementioned Matsuyama, he plays in right. He's pretty slow, and Brad Eldred, he's not going to break any land speed records either getting over there.
And so
if you look at the video footage on YouTube, neither one of those guys is anywhere in the picture. Matsuyama.
Yeah, well, it was straight away center. They're probably not thinking they're needed.
Well, you got to come over. Well, Matsuyama shows up late. Yeah. You'll see him after it hits the wall and it's bouncing back toward the infield. You'll see Matsuyama come in on the left side of the picture. But do you know who fielded the ball? And I looked it up. It was Kimura, Shogo Kimura, who was playing shortstop. And that's who came over, and he tries to pick the ball up, and he falls down as he's picking it up. But even if he had fielded it cleanly, he didn't have a play. This was
right.
This was without a throw. This was a walk around the bases here. I mean, he literally, Kajitani, you know, he could make it. He was going to make it if he was running, if he was Big Poppy.
Kajitani does have speed. Kajitani is leading the
Definitely.
League in stolen bases. He's second in the league in triples. I think he has one.
Right.
He's in the top of the league in doubles. He's just on fire.
Yeah.
And of just the Bay Stars, he leads the Bay Stars in hits, doubles, home runs, RBIs, stolen bases, hit by pitch, on base percentage, slugging, and OPS.
Yeah. Yeah, he is
the Bay Stars offense.
Come back, Tony.
You think of the Bay Stars offense, and you think Tony Blanco, who's hurt right now.
Yeah, he's nearing a comeback, though, I heard.
Yeah, he should be back soon. Or at third base,
Aram Balderis.
Balderis, that's it. And Balderis is tied with him in home runs, I believe.
Yeah, I don't
but,
know.
But Kajitani has really been the catalyst to a lot of the Bay Stars' wins this year.
Yeah, he has been really, really steady. So, but did you saw the video of that footage also? So you saw the reaction of Brian Bullington and the pitcher on the mound who gave up the inside park.
Incredulous.
Yeah, another guy who was just stunned. And his was more like we didn't make that play, we didn't catch it, and we didn't cover and
get it off the wall.
We didn't get anybody to come over and help Maru out and get the ball back to the infield. We didn't make a throw. Are you kidding me here? I mean, the poor
guy. He did go on to win the game. At the time, it was the top of the seventh, and the Bay Stars were down 5-1. So that just made it 5-2,
right,
which was the score at the end of the game. But, that was very interesting. It was also the first running home run of the season.
Oh, you mean inside the park home run.
It was interesting that there were inside the park home runs.
Right.
There were two inside the park home runs on consecutive days. That one on Children's Day, May 5th.
On Monday,
being the first of the season. And then, of course, that second one.
On Tuesday.
With Ogino the following day, Tuesday,
yeah,
which was also a national holiday.
Right. Yeah, it was really interesting. And we had this pitch, we had a game also that ended on a wild pitch strikeout. And that was the first time in the Pacific League and the second time overall. And that happened on Tuesday as well. So it was just bizarre, but nothing that I've seen in the last, I don't know, 15 or 16 years in Japanese baseball is as bizarre as the saga of Norihiro Nakamura of the Yokohama Bay Stars. I don't even know how to get into this topic, but he's involved with a public spat with his manager and the coaches and a player. And it's a situation that he can't win. And yet.
No, he can't.
He can't win. And he's posting Team Matters on Facebook. So to go back and talk about the history of it, I don't even know where we start, but I know that at one point I read two articles in newspapers. I read one online and I read a follow-up in the newspaper the next day this past week. And we know that certain guys on the team, and I think it's Kajitani actually in particular, has the green light to steal at any time. And apparently they've been disrespecting Norihiro anyway because they started him in the minors and he came up partially through the season, in part because Tony Blanco got injured. And they brought him up from the minor leagues where they started him because they didn't think he was worth very much. And he's played 13 games, and they batted him in the cleanup spot, you know, after bringing him up from the farm team. And
he was taking the place of Blanco.
Yeah, and he had 10 RBIs in 13 games in the number four hole. So it's not like he's useless. You know, he was producing.
He's definitely not useless.
Yeah, he's producing. Anyway, so he had a game where Kajitani was on base, and apparently, now I've heard guys talk. The main guys I've heard speak about this, especially cleanup hitters, are Hiromitsu Ochiai, who was number one. And there are some other guys, including Kiyohara, but a lot of the guys just, they think that, and you know baseball players and their egos, they don't want any distractions, and they don't think anybody should be stealing when they're at bat, because they're the cleanup guys. They get paid to drive in runs. And if you, especially with two outs, you know, I don't know what the out situation was before, but apparently Kajitani or somebody was on base and was stealing when he was batting, when nobody was batting. And so he said he was distracted. So his version of the story is that he went to one of the coaches and he told them, hey, look, I want to talk to you about the fact that we're letting guys run when I'm at bat. And apparently that turned into him not obeying direct orders of the team and being in conduct detrimental to the team.
Yeah, it turned into he's criticizing the team or the manager. They took it as a criticism,
right,
not a constructive, let's get together and talk about this.
Right. So they sent him out to the farm, and then this was the story on Thursday, I believe, and then on Friday in the paper it said that they didn't even really have a plan to use him on the farm because he posted on Facebook and went through like the whole story. Now, this one of the stories that I read said that the coaches pulled him aside and that he met with the manager for an hour. But on the Facebook post that Norty wrote, he said he wasn't contacted by anyone until the next day, didn't talk to the manager, and was contacted the next morning and told that he had been sent to the farm. So I don't know which one to believe.
As a penalty.
Yeah, I don't know which one to believe. I don't know which one is absolute truth. I would imagine it's somewhere in the middle. I've heard these guys talk about being distracted by guys running on the bases, and they don't need them to run. They just need them to run when they hit the ball so that they can score.
Mm-hmm.
These cleanup batters have a lot of pride, I guess. I don't know. So anyway.
Well, one of the issues, of course, is a lot of the players are raised with kanda yaku. That is, everything on the field is managed. And so when you have a situation where one player is not being micromanaged, it throws a lot of the other players off. And I think that that's issue number one. And he wanted to raise that issue with management, saying, you know, can we at least get together so that I know what is going to happen on the base paths while I'm at bat?
Right, and I can respect that. Just, you know, coming together and talk about it, discuss it, and bring it into, or have some discussion or some dialogue about it. But I don't know. I want to believe his version, but again, I don't think you can post team matters on Facebook. I remember when, I think it was 3 years ago when Vladimir Ballantyne of the Swallows tweeted during a game, and they just about cut his fingers off for confiscated his phone and his computer. I mean, you know, you don't do that. And so I can't imagine this is the first time I've ever heard of anything like this involving a Japanese player and having him respond directly to a team matter in such a public fashion. I've never heard of this. And like I said, that's why I said he can't win. I don't even really care what happened in the team situation. I just think you can't go on Facebook and talk about it. And then the day after, he did it again. I mean, he went out and said, I shouldn't have brought team matters up in a public fashion and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, you're doing it again. I don't see any remorse.
And that was
here.
His apology for doing so.
Right. I don't see any remorse here when you come out the next day and do the same thing. So,
But I do understand his frustration because the Bay Stars at the beginning of the season hired Balderas to play third base. Of course, Nakamura had been playing third base for the past couple of seasons. He's been doing a very fine job there. He's filled in at first when needed.
Mm-hmm.
And Tsutsugo has been the third baseman then. This year, because Balderas joined the team, Tsutsugo went to the outfield, and Nori started the season on the farm.
Right.
So right there, he's already feeling not wanted.
Yeah, but I understand.
And I can certainly understand his frustration there.
I can understand.
Because he has produced.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I understand the frustration, but I don't understand is why you don't keep a guy like that on the first team and let him pinch hit, because you always have pinch hit
situations. On the bench, be ready. Yeah. There does seem to be something between Nori and management right now, and even from the beginning of the season, which I don't know what it is, but just everything they have done this off season suggests that he is not getting along with management. In fact, I believe that at the end of last season, it was up in the air whether they were even going to re-sign him again, especially after the Balderas acquisition.
Right.
So, yeah, he's probably not really feeling very wanted. There's nothing for him to do at Nigun except for spend the time there.
I mean, on the farm, yeah.
On the farm as penalty for wanting to improve the club.
Yeah, yeah. I can tell you this, at 41, I just can't see this leading to anything positive. And if you make a fuss, you get sent down, you can vent and rant and all that. It's not going to push things in the right direction for you. It makes for really great theater. I wish somebody, I don't know that I'll be able to get out to Yokohama to talk to anybody about it. And I probably, by the time I do, nobody will want to talk to me about it. So.
Oh, I'm sure that nobody is going to want to talk about this. In fact.
Well, Aaron would talk to me about it. I know he would, but, I think they all want to, they're going to try to put it behind them. You know, I hope they can turn things around as an organization. They've had a really bad start and, I don't want to see them finish in the cellar. I want to see them keep moving forward. Especially in this situation where the Dragons aren't really all that great and the Swallows are having more injury problems. I think they have a chance to finish fourth, at least if they can get things together. But, you know, you see things like this and you understand that this is not going to help this organization on either side, the players or management.
Uh-huh.
And it's not going to be a positive thing and that helps them move forward.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
Okay. All right, we did have one surprising performance that I wanted to mention, and that came on Wednesday when Masanori Ishikawa of Yakult shut out the first-place Carp 6-0. Mm-hmm. And this is his first shutout since May 1st of 2012 and his first win of the season. And he had an ERA of over 6 before the game. And, I mean, it's just nutty. There's just some nutty things happening. Tatsuro Hamada of the Chunichi Dragons also shut out the Hanshin Tigers on the same night. That was his first pro start. So there's just some weird things that went on this week. That's what makes baseball fun. Let's go to fielding questions. All right, this comes to us from Dave in Baltimore, and he actually sent two questions, but we're only going to have time to deal with one today, and then we're going to have to get out of here. His question is, I thought they had outlawed having the pitchers warm up in front of the dugout while their team is batting, but I still see them doing it. Did they rethink outlawing it, or is the change not going to take effect until 2015?
I remember them announcing that at the end of last year, too. And I've also been looking at the players warming up outside the dugout and just wondering what did happen to that. Is it another one of those things that the owners get together and say, let's do this. Mm. And then it just gets quietly swept aside as nobody really feels like doing it.
Yeah. I did hear the same reports and I was wondering about it until the season started and I completely forgot about it. So thank you, Dave, for reminding us. And basically I went back and looked up a couple of articles. One that said, the former commissioner, Yozo Kato, wanted to implement this because according to the article I read, he wanted it to be part of his legacy that that the MPB fall in line with international play and international rules.
Uh-huh.
And that he knew he was outgoing, and this is obviously before the Japan series, because he left office between the end of the season and the Japan series, as I recall. And
Yeah, just before the Japan series started.
Right, right. And so he wanted this to be implemented because it's not allowed in the major leagues. It's not really allowed in international baseball. Of course, the players basically nixed it. They rejected it, and that was that.
Yeah,
and that
this isn't the first time that some new policy was being kind of announced in the press, and then it doesn't come to be, but there is no retraction of it whatsoever.
Yeah.
MPB seems to do this a lot.
Yeah, it was hard to find. I tell you, I did a couple searches, and it was, you know, I did pitching in front of the bench, and I mean, obviously in Japanese, but I did a couple of things, and finally I just searched for a bench or in front of the bench, and then I had to sift through all the articles, but it was really hard to find the articles that talked about the fact that it wasn't implemented, but there were lots of articles that were talking about the fact that it was going to be implemented. So
right.
You're right. They talked about it, but of course they never said it was a sure thing. None of the language in the articles that I read said it was a sure thing. They just said it's going to be implemented. So, you know, of course,
yeah, the NPB does that a lot. They announce something that they are thinking of doing, and then when they decide not to do it, they never mention anything afterwards.
Right.
And that's one of those places where transparency would be very helpful.
You think?
Which is something that the NPB has had a very long history of having a hard time with.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so I got this information from an article in December, mid-December. So apparently Kato stepped down at just before November, and this idea basically went out the door with him. And that's what happened, Dave. And your other question we will get to next week. Anyone else who has a question, send them to ykyujohn@gmail.com. And you can also go to our Facebook and leave us a comment there. Look for us on iTunes as well, because we are there, and you can sign up and
subscribe.
You can subscribe to us there. All right, Michael, thank you very much for sitting in for Jim. It was a pleasure having you come on the show, and you did a good job, and thank you for all that trivia.
I'll try to think of easier questions next time.
Well, we got to start getting them right. If we're not going to get them right, it's good information on it. And today was a really good, the saves number being 46 now and 45 at the time. That's good information that people can take away for, and keep with them until they'll know when the record comes up again, they'll know what the number is. So much appreciated.
And a little bit of history of Sasaki.
Yep, that's right. All right, everybody, have a good week and enjoy your baseball. One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.